Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 3, 2014. It is the seventh day of the fourth lunar month, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to decide? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, here but faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Yahshua doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Yahshua doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers His winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rocks before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, bring my flight to limbs of day, is my song to endless ages, Yahshua led me all the way. Is my song to endless ages, Yahshua led me all the way. Part 2, Mount Zion, the 11th hour by the Victory Hall. We're going to continue now on page 24. Here's just a little review from our last study, but first we're going to turn to a prayer thought taken from Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto the shepherds, woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherd feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat unto all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and give them from the countries and will bring them unto their own land and feed them upon the mountains of the Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of the Israel shall their foe be. There shall they lie in a good foe and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, says Yahweh Elohim. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat of the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, question mark, and have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Okay. Now this is what Alan DeLong is doing today. He's drunk of the deep waters, but he's fouling the residue with his feet by going out and linking up with strange women of a different races. He's done this more than one time. I mean, he's run after Russian women, people he's never met before, sent them thousands of dollars, tried to get them to come over here and see him, and all they were doing is playing him like a fiddle, and he was wasting all that money. He could have been giving that money to us to help forward the gospel, but instead he was trying to satisfy his own lustful flesh. And so we would plead with him and plead with him and plead with him and tell him no more, no more, no more. And he'd wait till he found another one. And this has continued on. Now, he don't like me mentioning this stuff, but he's gone off making accusations against me. And he's out doing the message the way that he sees that he thinks it should be done. And he's bringing reproach upon the kingdom. He can't come back into the kingdom until he repents of all of that. And so he's drunk of the deep waters. I mean, he is drunk deep and understood it. And now he's fouling the residue with his feet. Well, he's no longer fouling here. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horn, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Okay. And Adi Yahweh will be their Elohim, and my servant David a prince among them. Adi Yahweh hath spoken it. Yahweh has used me personally, led me by the Spirit to meet Alan DeLong 33 years ago. And as soon as I laid eyes on him, the Holy Spirit said, go harvest that man. I did exactly that very thing and harvested that man. And for the most part, he's rejoiced having drunk from this deep well that he learned about. And what does he do at the end of the line? The Bible said, he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Well, and so, yet he turns on me and calls me a false prophet and this and that. But if I'm a false prophet, then he's in trouble because... And a false prophet convert him to something he believed to be the real truth. Okay. Verse 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And and I will make them and the places round about my hill, this is the hill of Zion, the Mount Zion, the fell tower, a blessing, and I will cause a shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey unto the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Yahweh your Elohim, am with them, and they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Yahweh Elohim, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your Elohim, saith the Yahweh Elohim. Okay, that's the end of Ezekiel 34. Now we're just going to go right on into our study of Mount Zion at the 11th hour, and rightfully named, for V.T. Hallett believed that the 11th hour was the last hour on the parabolic time clock. He thought when the clock struck 11, that began the judgment of the living, and he believed that happened in 1930, and so is it any wonder that his successors, the prophets that followed after him, they followed in that same vein. In that same furrow that he plowed, they just continued on with that same belief that they were in the last parabolic hour, and that indeed that they were the last prophet and not the one before them. And so Ben Roden, Vitale's successor, believed he was the last prophet, and then Rollis Johnson, Ben Roden's successor, believed he was the last prophet. And sure enough, I was with Rollis Johnson for 32 years. And at the end of 32 years, he asked me some questions, and I said, well, I don't see anything in prophecy for anybody to take your place. You're the last prophet that I see. And of course, I was following Brother Johnson's teachings. I wasn't searching out prophets for myself that would succeed to the very end. I just took it for granted that he was the last one and that we were in the last parabolic hour. I was brainwashed that 11th hour also. So Yahweh gave me inspiration on this 24-hour time clock, and I pushed some numbers back one, showed where the 12th hour was your last hour. And Yahshua said in John 11:9, are there not 12 hours in a day? So I pushed the numbers back on the parabolic time clock, got on my website that way, and it's number one, it starts the first hour of the day, not number 12, the way that V.T. Hallett had it, making the 11th the last hour of the day. And so there you have it. On page 24, we're going to continue now with our study. Do a little review. It says, this hurting and sealing, which the John saw, and the slaughter, and the marking which the Ezekiel saw, are again identified as one and the same. This sealing of the service of Elohim is the same that was shown in the Ezekiel and the vision. Testimonies Ministries, page 445. Testimonies, volume 5, page 211. Volume 3, page 267. Although the marking and the slaughter of Ezekiel 9 include only the church, Judah and Israel, the hurting by the winds and the hurting by the angels, Revelation 7, include all the world, both the earth and the sea, each of which is indicative of a different locality, the sea, and the realm of the nature, the storehouse, home of the waters, is therefore in the realm of the symbols, as the birthplace of the nation in the old country, in the earth, the opposite of the sea, which is the United States, is correspondingly a domain away from the old country. So the United States is a domain that's away from the old country. It's called the new country. And Texas is called the land of Goshen in this new country. It is located under John and the symbol of the two-horned beast. This represents the United States government coming up, not out of the sea, but out of the earth. In other words, came up in the earth, like the scarlet-colored beast, Revelation 17. See Revelation 13:11, where the only place where trees that naturally grow, and as according unto Daniel 4:20-22, trees are figurative of the rulers, therefore the trees in this instance represent the ancient man before the house. So Brother Johnson is represented as a tree, Ezekiel 9:6, ancient man before the house. A fact which reveals that in this period, the church's headquarters are in the two-horned beast's dominion, the new world and the earth. Okay. And where was that at? The Seventh Day Adventist headquarters was at, years ago at Tacoma Park, Washington, right close to Washington, D.C., which was an alien nation ruling over the 50 states of the United States that they called it. Called Texas one of the 50 states, which it's not. Actually, technically it's not. It's a nation. But anyway, church that they're, this here that they're ruling over is here in this dominion here. Alright? In the light of the clear-cut facts before us, we see that the main object of the sealing or marking of the servants of the Elohim is for the cleansing of the congregation or the church at Gilead Center in Turner, Texas, 2003, from sin and from sinners, so that she may be able to stand strong against the image beast in the time of the trouble. So the image beast then is the next thing that is to be made up after the 11th hour Adventist in Turner, Texas, is brought through in at Gilead Center. Then that's the reason why it has to be brought to his end, so that Yahweh can bring forth his purified kingdom in the 12th hour, the house of David, to get ready to meet this here beast, this antitypical Goliath, the Philistine, in the time of trouble. So we have Ezekiel 9 sandwiched in between the closing of the 11th hour and the closing of the judgments for the dead that represents the Adventist church's closing. And for the opening up then of the judgment for the living, we have this little period of time. It's at least a 7-year period for the marking and the sealing of 144,000 after 2002. So it says, in the time of trouble, and that when this purifying work is completed, it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in the Yahrusha. When Yah shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Yahrusha from the midst thereof by the spirit of the judgment, and by the spirit of the burning, Isaiah 4:3-4. When this special work of the purification of the putting away of the sin among Elohim's people is accomplished, then the church is to enter upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world conquering and to conquer. Great Controversy 4:25. Prophets and Kings 7:25. And Yahweh will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assembly a cloud and smoke by the day and a shining of flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And that there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat and for a place of refuge and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahweh, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 4:5-6, and Isaiah 62:12. For the entire church, acting as one, blending in the perfect union, is to be a living, active missionary agency moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit. All that the apostles did, every church member today is to do. His workers will then see eye to eye in the arm of Yahweh, the power of which was seen in the life of Yahshua will be revealed. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 47. Volume 7, page 33, and Volume 9, page 33. Okay, then it shall come to pass, saith Yahweh, that I will sanctify my great name, which was professed or profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people. And I will be your Elohim. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of the famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doing that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith Yahweh Elohim. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquity, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be built. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahweh, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. How the Yahweh has spoken, and I will do it. Ezekiel 36, 23 to 33 and 36. Again, in the cleansing of the temple from the world's buyers and sellers, Yahshua announced his mission. First, to cleanse the heart from the defilement of the sin, from the earthly desires, the selfish lust, the evil habits that corrupt the soul. Desire of Ages, page 161. And second, to cleanse the entire church of sin and sinners. As twice, once in the closing of John the Baptist's proclamation of the kingdom, and in the opening of the gospel dispensation at the beginning of the Yahshua's ministry, and once at the close of his work, and at the opening of the apostles' special testimonies ministry, number 7, page 54, he cleansed the temple from the unholy practices by which the Jews had desecrated it, John 2:15-16, Matthew 21:12-13. He thereby twice gave warning in type that also in the closing of the apostolic dispensation, the antitypical apostolic dispensation, Greek Holocaust, the Christian dispensation, he will twice cleanse his church, once at the sealing of the first fruits, 144,000. And again, the seating of the second fruits, the great multitude, Revelation 7, 1 and 9. So, then that's what took place in Tremont in 2002 was the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8, 14, to start the judgment of the living. You have to do that before you can start the judgment of any kind. And so there you have it. There's your first cleansing. And then that starts to Ezekiel 9 and marking the sealing of the 144,000 of Revelation 7 sealing angel. And the Ezekiel 9 marking angel, they worked hand in glove together for the same purpose. Since both of these cleansings, moreover, took place at the feast of Passover, and since, too, all who had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 3, Exodus 12, verse 3 to 6, were forbidden to participate in the Passover in the first month, but were permitted to prepare for it and to celebrate it in the second month, Numbers 9, 11, and 2 Chronicles 30, verse 13. Thereby is typified the purification of the church in the two sections, thus showing still again that there are two gatherings, two sittings, two separations, two companies, first fruits and second fruits. For the further treatment of the two sittings, see our tract number 1, pre-11th hour extra. And for the antitype of the Passover, the Shepherd's Rod, volume 2, page 256. There must be, says the spirit of the prophecy, a cleansing of the institution center under the Yahshua's cleansing of the temple of the old. It is written, said the Yahweh, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. There are in our institutions today transactions similar unto those that took place in the temple's courts in the Yahshua's time. And all heaven is looking on. The Yahweh will work to purify his church, I tell you in the truth. The Yahweh is about to turn and overturn in the institutions called by his name. Just how soon this refining process will begin, I cannot say, but it will not be long or deferred. He whose fan is in his hand will cleanse his temple of its moral defilement, that he may thoroughly purge his floor, brethren, and the responsible position, September, written 1895 by Ellen G. White. In the parabolic preview of the purification of the church, Yahshua declared, for the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, Matthew 13:49, take away the wicked and leave the good, whereas in the Revelation addressing his own in the Babylon, he says, come out of her, my people, Revelation 18:4, calling the righteous out and leaving the wicked in, the former are purified by the wicked being cast out from among them, the latter by their being taken out from among the wicked. Also, there are two distinct parables of the talents, Matthew 25:15-30, Luke 19:13-27, both of which pointedly enter the picture in its present sitting. In the one are three servants, and the other 10 servants. This significant difference shows that the former has only a local application, whereas the latter has a worldwide application, incidentally showing, as does the Shepherd's Rod, volume 2, page 85 and 86, that in the scriptures, number 10 stands for universality and number 3 for the Trinity in the church. These unalterable truths of the type and parable and the word of his testimony bring us face to face with the solemn reality that we are come unto the time of the antipical Passover and cleansing of the temple. Antipical Passover took place at Kermit, Texas, 2002, for Gilead Center, the third feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the angel of the candlestick in charge of the candlestick there of Laodicea was in charge of the temple at Kermit, Texas, 2002, and he is the one responsible for orchestrating the bringing to the end of the judgment of the dead and the sixth seal and the sixth trumpet and initiating the opening up of the seventh trumpet for the house and the seventh seal for the house of David start the judgment of the living for the 144,000. Okay, and to the harvest of the world, the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. The spirit of the Elohim bids us with the awful solemnity. Get ready, get ready, get ready, for the fierce anger of the Yahweh is soon to come. His wrath is to be poured out unmixed with mercy, and you are not ready. Rend the heart and not the garment. Early writings, page 119. Oh, let no one be misled into thinking that after the close of probation, or after the second coming of Yahshua, after the sinners in the world have been destroyed, Elohim's congregation shall attain unto the exalted standard of the character and unto the high office appointed of the heaven and be purified from the sin and sinners. On the contrary, in that day, before the sinners in the world had been destroyed, said Yahweh, well, I'll make Yerushalayim a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, In that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of David shall be as the Yahweh Elohim, as the angel of the Yahweh before them, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness in the Yahweh, and the pots in the Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar, yea, every pot in the Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness to the Yahshua of the host, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see, that means to boil, therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite, Palestinian, Philistine, and typical Philistine, Muslim, Arab, in the house of Yahweh of the host. Zechariah 12:3. But isn't that what the angel told Abraham? And says, Ishmael shall not be heir with Isaac. Okay, Ishmael was a half-brother to Isaac, and he was born of the flesh, Abraham being the father, but he says he'll not be heir. And Ishmael today represents the Muslim nation, the Arab nation. So we can very clearly then make the statement without any doubt about the meaning of it. Zechariah 12:3, 8 and 9, Zechariah 14:20 and 21. These verses expressly declare that the church will be as the Elohim, as the angel of the Yahweh before them during the time of the trouble, when the nation shall gather against her, and the Yahshua in the visions shall then smite them. Probation still lingering. While this sequence of the events takes place, all they that sacrifice an act which is performed before the close of probation shall therefore be holy, and there shall be no more of the Canaanite or antitypical Philistine in the house of the Yahweh. Every true Bible student knows that the church must reach this purity of the heart and character and position not after but before Yahshua's mediatorial work is finished and before the sacrifice has ceased. All such students know also that the Elohim neither manifests his great power to defend them in the time in which all the people of the earth gather together against them, nor bestow his spirit upon them as he did upon the early Christians on the day of the Pentecost. If there are sinners among his people, and if the entire church be not with the one accord, Acts 2:1, clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banner, as was the apostolic church upon which the Spirit descended, as a rushing mighty wind, Acts 2:2, only though, says the Spirit of prophecy, who have withstood and overcome temptation through the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of this message when it shall have swelled into the loud cry, review in the Herald, November 19, 1908, and that the loud cry fail not to sound on the time or at all those who do not overcome those who had betrayed their trust. The ancient men, those unto whom Elohim had given great light and who have stood as guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, must be removed. This is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last work on the figure of the men, each having a slaughter weapon in his hand, Testimony, Volume 3, page 266. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Okay, that's taken from Review and Herald, Volume 5, page 211. Confronted with the towering certainty of the church's imminent purification, sealing, and subsequent glory, we hasten to face the church's condition just before the purification. What greater deception can come upon their human minds than the confidence that they are right and they are all wrong, for the message of the true witness finds the people of Elohim in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. They know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Yahweh, while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, for the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of the true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. For the testimony is so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, page 252. And that testimony was sounded in 2002, July the 14th, to the angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea, Brother Johnson. And that was the true witness. And his testimony was true. It proved out to be true. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire, our garments are unspotted by the world? I saw our instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off. He laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said to me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of the character? How has a faithful city become an harlot? My Father's house is made a house of prayer, a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness and strength is lacking. Testimony, Volume 8, page 250. For the ancient men, those unto whom Elohim had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. These dumb dogs would not bark, are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Elohim. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message which declares that they are deceived and in need of every spiritual grace. For the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Testimony, Volume 3, page 253. And I was just so sad to have to say this about our dear brother Alan DeLong and Sharon. They have unsanctified hearts. That is a deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. They don't know that they are really desperately wicked people. There are many who do not have the discretion of Joshua and who have no special duty to search out wrongs and to deal promptly with the sins existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of this work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point to question and doubt and find fault because others do the work that Elohim has not laid upon them. These stand directly in the way to hinder those upon whom Elohim has laid the burden of reproving and correcting prevailing sin, that his own frown may be turned away from his people. Should a case like the Achans be among us, there are many who would accuse those who might act the part of Joshua in the searching out the wrongs of having a wicked, fault-finding spirit. Elohim is not to be trifled with, and his warning is disregarded with impunity by a perverse people. Now, I'd like to say, since I've been here since 2003, that I have made over, probably by the last 10 years, say, I've made over 7,000 one-hour recordings on cassette tapes, on CDs, and on DVDs. And it's about all this message is from Genesis to Revelation. Whatever the Holy Spirit gave me, that's what I put down on record. And Alan DeLong has been with me for 33 years, been with us, starting with Kermit and Brother Johnson for 20 years, been with me for 11 years, 12 years. And lo and behold, I don't guess he's made enough CDs that he probably hadn't even reached a 10 in number. Maybe he has, but I'm just saying, even if he did about 20 one-hour CDs, that's nothing in comparison to over 7,000. And I asked him to have 50% of the ministry. Come in here and make 50% of these tapes and take some of this burden off of me. And he refused to do it. So it's his own fault that he hasn't published as much as he wants to. He has the freedom to, been invited to. And all I ask him to do is keep the Sabbath day right like it's supposed to be kept. Move here where we can keep the dailies at the appointed time together, where we can grow together in the truth as it unfolds. And yet, I'm accused of being a false prophet by someone with his record. So I rest my case. Let us continue reading. Elohim's displeasure is upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while sin exists among them and are fostered by those in the responsible positions. Those who work in the fear of the Elohim to rid the church of the hindrances and to correct grievous wrongs, that the people of Elohim may see the necessity of abhorring sin and may prosper in their purity, and that the name of the Elohim may be glorified, but ever meet with the resisting influences from the unconsecrated. Zephaniah thus describes the true state of this class and the terrible judgments that will come upon them. It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lead, that say in their heart, the Yahweh will not do good, neither will it do evil. The great day of the Yahweh is near. It is near and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Yahweh. The mighty man shall cry their bitterly. When a crisis finally comes, as it surely will, and Elohim speaks in behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of darkness, and who have stood firmly or directly in the way of the Elohim working for his people, may become alarmed at the length they have gone in the murmuring and in the bringing discouragement upon the cause, and like the aching, they becoming terrified. They may acknowledge that they have sinned, but their confessions are too late and are not of the right kind to benefit themselves, although they may relieve the cause of the Yahweh. Those who have been nearly all their lives controlled by a spirit as foreign to the spirit of the Elohim, as was Achan's, will be very passive when the time comes for the divided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on either side. Testimony, Volume 3, page 270-272. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christians. But this is not the case. Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Elohim has never made the flock wholly dependent upon a human instrumentality. But the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahweh will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Those who have trusted to intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. And the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Elohim, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has faithful servants who in their shaking, testing time will be disclosed to you. These are precious ones now, or there are precious ones now, hidden, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. But it may be under a rough and an uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine character will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. But the foregoing series of statements shows that the church must be cleansed before the rest of the Elohim people are gathered out of all countries. Then in those days and in that time, when I shall bring in the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, says Yahweh, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land, Joel 3:1-2. But to be delivered from the captivity and to hear the Yahweh plead there for his people, one dare not spurn now his pleading. They say if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again unto me, saith Yahweh. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the God of my youth? Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. That's what he offered Gilead's sinner, 2002. But they wouldn't acknowledge their iniquity. They wouldn't do anything Yahweh asked them to do. That thou hast transgressed against the Yahweh the Elohim, and hast scattered thy ways unto the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, says Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, and say to Yahshua, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastures according unto my heart. That's P-A-S-T-O-R-S, that's shepherds, in other words, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land. In those days, saith Yahweh, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time, they shall call Yahushua the throne of the Yahshua, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of Yahshua, unto Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil hearts. In those days, it says, in those days, the house of the Jews shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, unto the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers, Jeremiah 3:1-4 and 12-18. Howbeit, says the Yahweh, behold, I will send you Eliyahu, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner, and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer the Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahweh, as in the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those who press the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Yahweh of hosts. For I am the Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said Yahshua the host. But you said, wherein shall we return? Well, a man robbed Yahweh. You have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In the tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. But you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Yahshua of the host, for I will not pour you, open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Yahshua the host. And all nations shall call you a blessing, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Yahshua of the host. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Yahweh. Yet you say, but have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve Elohim, and what profit is it that we have kept his orders, and that we have walked mournfully before the Yahweh of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt Elohim are even delivered. Then they that fear the Yahweh spake often one to another, and the Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Yahshua of the host, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Elohim and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3:1-18. Therefore, thus saith the Yahshua Elohim, Messiah, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation. Let's do that again. Therefore, thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay unto the lion, and righteousness unto the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. But the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself upon it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Yahshua shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim; he shall be wroth as in the Valley of Gibeon, that his work, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, it says, be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong, for I have heard from Yahshua, Messiah of the host, a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Isaiah 28:16-23. As Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock, himself testimony of on time. Page 80, Testimonies of Ministers, page 300, Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of the Jacob again becoming a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one head, Hosea 1:11, David their king, Hosea 3:5, and seek the Yeshua their Savior. It is evident that the church in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message will be a theocracy. We need to remember this. For the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, that's Yeshua, come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness. And this is the King David, and typical King David. And princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place in the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh Elohim, of the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of the David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua of hosts will perform this. The Yahshua sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted up on Israel. That's 144,000, the purified part of the Israel, in Isaiah 9:68. So Yahshua is this child that's born unto us, born unto the house of Judah, the house of David today, and it sits upon the throne of his righteousness, and he rules, and this house of David is set up forever. Amen. Behold, the Yahshua Elohim will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and he will then give them the kingdom and his work before him. He will then gather his people. Isaiah 40:10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. That happened in 2002. Brother Johnson represented Jesse, the father of David. Prophecies, or prophesies Isaiah in the figurative depiction of this glorious triumph of the Elohim's purpose. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Yahshua coming out of the roots of this tribe of Judah, house of David, here in the 12th hour. And the spirit of the Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Elohim, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Yahweh. And he shall not judge at the sight of his eyes, neither reprove at the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11:1-5. Under his wings, under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him, I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wing, under his wing, heard from his love can save me. Under his wing, my soul shall abide, safety abide forever. Under his wing, what a refuge in sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am glad. Under his wing, under his wing, through from his love can save. heart, carry up thy treasure. Under his wing, oh, what precious enjoyment, there will I tell life's trials of hope. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me, resting in Yeshua, I'm safe evermore. Under his wing, here from his love can sever. Under his wing, my soul shall abide, safely abide.